You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP segment that set its game clocks an hour forward. DeFi, what is going on in PvP?
Well, let's go ahead and start off with the Go Battle League. We were just in Open Great League and the Color Cup. And I'm happy to say I finally completed that first page of the battle research. I got my first 100 wins. I posted it on Twitter. It's above a 60% win rate, which is always really, really good.
Yeah, well done.
So super excited about that. I ran a pretty common line, pretty meta line of Trevenant, Toxapex, and Galvantula.
I was doing the same thing for so long. I was running the exact same team. Trevenant in the lead?
Yes, Trevenant in the lead, Toxapex, yeah. Safe swap, Galvantula in the back. I think Psionic might have posted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I did come to that team myself, but I am not surprised in the slightest that other creators are out there with that team, because like Trevenant and Toxapex were essential in this particular meta. They were just such a busted core together, and then it was just like pick your third. I did see a lot of people bringing in Kingdra towards the end, and I actually made that change eventually. I put Kingdra in the lead, and then the Trevenant and Toxapex were in the back.
Yeah, Kingdra is such a fun pick. I wish it were just a little bulkier. Just a smidgen bulky. Not
tad.
Much. It doesn't need much.
Between a smidgen and a tad.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to what we're in now. It is March 15th to the 22nd, and we're in Open Ultra League and Great League Psychic Cup. For the Great League Psychic Cup, only psychic types allowed and Mew is banned. Taking a look at your PV Poke Top 10, we have Galarian Rapidash, Victini, Bruxish, Malamar, Bronzong, XL Medicham, both Shadow and regular Gardevoir, Alolan Raichu, Galarian Slowbro, and Galarian Slowking. I do want to note that these PV Poke rankings are out before Surf is available. So we're talking to you before Slowpoke Community Day, so that might adjust these rankings a little bit. What have you noticed so far, or what have you seen online about the Psychic Cup fish?
Well, for a start, regarding the Slowpoke family, that absolutely will, like, guaranteed change things up, particularly Galarian Slowking with Hex, Surf, and Shadow Ball is going to have a very, very solid win rate. Kanto Slowbro is also going to be pretty good with Water Gun to take on things like Claydol and Victini, which are going to be good. And then, you know, the Surf just firing so much quicker than, say, Psychic. I have started running a team. I've played like 7 battles so far, and I am 6-1 with a team of Malamar lead and Galarian Rapidash and Alolan Raichu in the back.
That sounds really good. I'm looking right now. I don't think I have a single like Great League IV Galarian Rapidash. I have a shiny Galarian Rapidash. I have a little Galarian Ponyta with a hat. It's really cute.
Unfortunately, cuteness doesn't get wins.
It doesn't, but it should. Oh, my shiny one has the hat. My shiny one has the hat. So
you know what? I just checked my Galarian Rapidash. It's 11, 14, 11.
Okay.
And that is somehow ranked 369. So, I mean, I always say, just build the best you got.
I think the best I've got would be this 11, 14, 12.
Okay, I'm going to pop that into GoStadium.com's IV rank checker right now.
Shout out to GoStadium.
Yeah.
Putting in the good work.
So, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Your 11, 14, 12 Galarian Rapidash is rank 2,753.
I just don't even know. Like, I'll see if I can find someone who can trade one to me, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's because I don't think it's... Has it been available in the wild before?
I feel like during GoFest, you could get it. But I could be wrong. Because all of mine are raid IVs. Yeah. I thought they were available during a special event, but I could be misthinking. Or like just like limited. Like a limited little event.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it was there for, but I'm the same. I'm looking at all my Galarian Ponyta, and they're all hatch and raid IVs as well. So we've missed something.
Yes. So I'm going to take a look, because Galarian Rapidash is so good. I want to use it. Otherwise, I'm looking at Bruxish right now, Victini. I'm definitely going to be looking at the Slowpoke family after Community Day. I'm going to look more deeply into that. Medicham, I just feel like it's good. Obviously, Medicham is always good. I just don't know with that fighting subtyping how useful it is going to be.
Medicham, I think, is good against Malamar and Bruxish specifically, because the dark damage that is threatening so many of the other Pokemon very heavily, it's neutral against the Medicham. And while like Galarian Rapidash is also taking neutral damage, and like Gardevoir, they're both also taking neutral damage, they're so glassy and have so little bulk that the neutral damage is threatening them regardless of being neutral, whereas the Medicham is bulky enough that it can take a whole bunch of foul plays and just keep on countering down, hit them with a dynamic punch, bam, done, dead.
Done.
One more thing that I would like to mention is with Galarian Rapidash. Now, the moveset you want with that one is Fairy Wind, Body Slam, and Mega Horn, because there are so many things that are weak to bug type damage, and Mega Horn is just a high damage per energy move. However, Galarian Rapidash was also given another move a couple of updates ago, and that was High Horsepower. High Horsepower is a very hard-hitting ground type move, and literally, if you look at the wins that it gets with High Horsepower versus the wins it gets with Mega Horn, they are a complete reversal. So with Mega Horn, the things that it's losing to are poison types and steel types and fire, and the fire type in Victini. Whereas High Horsepower will knock all of those out. Now, you do have to be able to land it, and like I've mentioned, Galarian Rapidash is a pretty glassy Pokemon, so it might not survive long enough to get the High Horsepower off, but if you can land it, it can flip a matchup that your opponent might not be expecting to win.
Very good. It's important to kind of think about different movesets and their pros and cons, benefits and drawbacks, because a lot of Pokemon have that really nice variety of moveset out there. And the one you mentioned, I think, would be really good for this specific meta.
For sure.
All right, let's move on to March 22nd to the 29th, which is Open Ultra League continuing on, and then switching to the Great League Mountain Cup. For the Mountain Cup, only Ice, Ground, Rock, and Steel-type Pokemon are eligible. Swampert is banned because it would be broken here. And the PV Poke Top 10, you'll notice that you can kind of get away with a Swampert side grade. We've got XL Diggersby, Escavalier, Whiscash, Lucario, Shadow and Regular Gliscor, Shadow and Regular Marshtomp, Ferrothorn, Shadow Abomasnow, Shadow and Regular Torterra, and Walrein. So that Marshtomp, it's an opportunity for that middle evolution to really shine through. Normally Swampert gets all the attention, but Marshtomp is pretty good too. It still knows Mudshot. It just doesn't have that super high power a spammy move of Hydro Cannon, but it has Surf, and it has quite a bit of other moves that are available to it.
Yeah, there seems to be like this weird dual triangle going of type effectiveness. So ground is super effective against rock and steel, rock and steel are both super effective against ice, and ice is super effective against ground. So looking at the meta, it seems like ground typing has been the most benefit from the particular way the meta's shaken out. Although you've got something like that Ferrothorn there is probably going to be pretty darn dangerous. I think Ferrothorn manages to beat... Well, maybe not. I was going to say it manages to beat most of the top 10, but, you know, the Escavalier will beat it, the Lucario will beat it, but your counter users will beat it. I don't know about Gliscor off the top of my head, and I don't know about Diggersby because it does have the super double super effective Fire Punch. But Ferrothorn is the one that stands out the most to me as being the kind of the most dangerous and the one you have to plan around the most.
The one that I'm most excited for is Diggersby. It's right at the top. I love Diggersby. I think it's really fun. Hold on. I want to double check. I want to double check its moveset, what it recommends for this, because Diggersby has two really viable fast moves, which is pretty interesting now. It not only has access to Mud Shot, but it also has access to Quick Attack, which got a recent buff. So it's recommending Mud Shot here, probably for all the steel types. However, Quick Attack is another move that's out there. You're also going to want it with Fire Punch and Earthquake. I've seen some Hyper Beam Diggersby in my time. I don't think it would be right here in this meta, again, because of steel types that you're trying to hit against.
And Rock.
So yeah, Mud Shot, definitely the answer here. It's really, really good. You can put it in the lead. You can make it your closer. It can be your safe swap. It is such a high stat product Pokemon. It is very thick. This is a Pokemon where you're going to want the rank one is level 50. So all those XL candy, 0, 15, 13 is what you're looking for.
In Australia, in Australian football, we call that a utility player. Someone who you can just throw them in any position and they'll get the job done.
And I think that is Diggersby in this meta.
Next up from, also worth a mention is on Saturday, March the 25th, we have our first Go Battle Day for the season. It is Go Battle Day Palmer from 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. local time. You will get free battle-themed timed research. Rewards include gloves inspired by Palmer.
Palmer was the battle tycoon, the battle tower tycoon in Diamond and Pearl, as well as Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
You get 20 sets for the day, making up 100 battles and 4 times Stardust from win rewards. This doesn't include the end of set rewards and won't stack with the 3 times Stardust bonus from the Master League rotation week. So you do have to keep that in mind. It's just the 4 times. It's not 12 times. But your win rewards are quadrupled.
Last thing we want to mention is just peeking that little bit into the future where we have March 29th to April 5th, Open Master League and the Little Cup. Reminder that Little Cup is Pokemon that are 500 CP and lower. Also, the traditional Little Cup rule is only Pokemon that can evolve. They are able to evolve and have not evolved even once are eligible. So, for example, in the Charmander line, it would only be Charmander. Charmeleon and Charizard would be out. So it has to be a Pokemon that can evolve but has not yet evolved. And I might take that week off. Probably not. I'll probably play a little bit, but Open Master League is just not the meta for me because of the legendaries. I have a lot more I can play for Master League Premier. However, Open Master League is... I don't think I have more than 50 XL candy for any legendary Pokemon, even Mewtwo. Yeah. I just don't have it. But other Pokemon, you know, like my Ursaluna or my Metagross, things like that. So I'm waiting for Master League Premier to come back. I'll have to wait till later in the cycle.
I'm not dreading Little Cup. I mean, longtime listeners of the show will know that I was historically just so against Little Cups, but ever since accepting that they are here to stay, I have willed myself to come around on them. And so I am perfectly fine with this upcoming Little Cup. I dread the Bronzor, but like the fact that it exists, I'm fine with.
I'm excited that I can use it again because I built that thing and it was expensive.
Yeah.
I built a lucky shiny one just because that's what I could afford to make. And it was so much. I still have it.
Yeah, it would be because you got to completely max it out, don't you?
Close.
Okay.
It was. I just remember it being a lot of Stardust for the time when I made it. I was like, oh my goodness. This is so much Stardust for something so silly.
So dumb that you thought you'd never get to use again. So, I mean, yeah, it would be a shame if you took the week off for that week.
Okay. So, Little Cup, sure, but not Open Master League for the reasons I mentioned. We'll give Little Cup a go.
Absolutely. Deal. Next up, we have our Sylph check-in. Ionic Cup and factions are underway. Let's take a look at the Ionic Cup first. How have your battles been going, DeFi?
Mine have been going really, really well. I like my team. I really like Beedrill. Beware, I've been using quite a bit. And pretty much every team I've seen is running a Luxray and a Beedrill. I think that's been pretty standard. We can talk more about the most popular Pokemon, but it is Beedrill just everywhere. I don't think I've seen a single other thing in the Proton slot. But overall, I've been doing good. My record right now is 5-2. I am currently in 3 ongoing tournaments. A fourth one will be starting in a couple days. How about you?
I didn't do as much prep and practice for this cup as I usually do, and I am suffering as a result. I believe that my win rate is below 50% for the first time, I want to say, in several seasons. We'll see if I can, you know, fix that win rate up by the end of the month, keep that streak going. But yeah, I put Alolan Raticate on my team because I was under the impression that that can actually beat Beedrill in the one shields. And I was like, well, I'm sold, because like one of the best ways to get an advantage over your opponents is to be aware of a situation where your Pokemon wins that they don't know. So I pictured, you know, safe switching my Raticate and the opponent responding with a Beedrill and then me being like, ha, I've got him. But then in practice, it never worked. Like, they always beat me in the one shields. And I was like, what's going on? I think it's an IV thing. I do my sims with the rank ones as the default. Mine is like a rank 200 and something, and I think this is finally a situation where the IVs genuinely mattered. So it's put me in a lot of very uncomfortable situations.
Yikes. I am sorry. That is not working out for you.
That's okay.
It's important, though, to be prepared for Beedrill. Taking a look at sylph.gg at their Ionic Cup stats, Beedrill is on 52% of teams. So one out of every 2 matchups that you will have a Beedrill on it.
That's incredibly high.
That is insanely high. The next closest is 29% at Beware. So Beedrill, you need to be either have it or be prepared to counter it. Preferably both. Have one on your team and also be ready to counter it. So I don't even see any other Protons. Like, that's it. The most popular Electron seems to be Luxray by a mile, especially because of those Psychic Fangs, which can hit for super effective against Beedrill. The next popular is Dedenne, and I'm using a Dedenne. I know it loses to Beedrill. I know it loses to Beedrill, but yeah. I like it. It's adorable. I'm using it.
It beats so many other things, though. Like, Umbreon's very popular. Sableye is very popular. I've seen an uptick in Pangoro. Beware, you mentioned, is really popular. And Dedenne beats all those things. So, like, if you can avoid the Beedrill, and to be honest, you know, a Beedrill is not going to like a Discharge. So, like, if you can, you know, take out a Pokemon and have enough residual energy, you can threaten the Beedrill when it comes in as well. So I think it's good. I think Dedenne is a good pick.
I would agree. I really enjoy having it on my team. When we take a look at the neutrons, the most popular one is definitely Umbreon, followed by Sableye, which makes perfect sense. They are two incredibly powerful Pokemon in open metas, and that rings true as well in this very restricted meta. They are just good Pokemon. So Umbreon and Sableye, another two Pokemon to look out for. When you look at the wild card, or like the filler picks, Beware, Politoed, Alolan Raticate, Muk, and Normal Cast Form are certainly some of the most popular picks, but there are a lot more on this list. I built a Normal Cast Form. Not sure if it was the right pick for me. Really? I like it. I like that you can Weatherball Rock a Beedrill. I'm not getting wins with it consistently.
Yeah. I've seen another very nice counter to Beedrill has been Shadow Armaldo, because it knows Fury Cutter, Rock Blast, and Cross Poison, which that in particular is pretty annoying for my team, because not only does it a Rock Blast one shot a Beedrill, but the Cross Poison puts a lot of pressure on my Dedenne. So that's an option that's been floating around.
Well, with that, an Ionic Cup, we'll keep you posted as the meta develops and as we move on through the month. But let's talk about factions. A new cycle just started. What's going on over in Pallet Town for your different factions where you're at?
We've literally just started, so I can't give too much of an update. I can say that the Pallet Town Silver team, which is one of the European teams, they have just started in Iron Tier. They managed to get promoted last cycle. Pallet Town Ruby, which is my Asia Pacific team, we have one new player who is very, very good, and I'm excited to see, you know, how that affects the team. However, our Master League player has proven a little bit unreliable. So he's already said, told me a day before the cycle opened, I'm out for the next 2 weeks. So I've had to just jump in that spot and just take an auto loss. Then we've got the other two factions, the other European team, which has decided to rename themselves to Pallet Town Crystal because they had a lot of changeover in personnel. So they just wanted a fresh start, and they have told me they are super, super excited. They're getting on really, really well. And the North American team, Pallet Town Red, that is a good team. And I just think it is only a matter of time before they are promoted to Iron Tier themselves.
All right. Sounds like you have a lot to celebrate over at Pallet Town. I have a celebration. We signed up for North America Open, and we were in our spot. We didn't get promoted. You know, we didn't make that top four spots. We were like eight. So we were so close. We did so well. But we were all signed up. And then the day it opened, we were in iron. So some teams must have just not RSVP'd in upper tiers. And suddenly, by surprise, this morning, we were in iron.
Happy birthday.
I know, right? Yesterday morning, we were just messaging in the chat like, oh my gosh, because we were looking in open and wondering why we weren't there. That'll be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's really cool. It does mean that for at least this cycle, there will be no Queen Bees versus Pallet Town Red rematch.
Correct. We're facing Sub-Zero this week, which was right in our same, they were in that third place tier. A lot of teams from North America Open got promoted who were in that, they were in that quote unquote third place. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the most points. They didn't get second most points. They were all those people tied for third. A bunch of us got promoted up. So there's going to be a lot of rematches for us from last cycle. I am so excited.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. It'll be a good time.
All right, so we have to cover these new battlefields. There are three new battlefields, new in quotation marks, battlefields to cover for this cycle. And the first one is the Great League battlefield of Arcana. So Arcana field is Ghost, Grass, Psychic, and rock type Pokemon, as well as Gyarados, Scyther, Vespiquen, Honchkrow, and Pelipper, which is a bit of an eclectic list of inclusions. The bands are Electric, Fairy, Ice, and Normal types, as well as Bastiodon, Probopass, Regirock, Trevenant, Sableye, Galarian, Articuno, and Tropius. The PvPoke top 10 is Pelipper, Shadow and Regular Shiftry, Gengar, Mew, Runigrigus, Shadow Honchkrow, Tyrant, Cofagrigus, Shadow Alolan Marowak, and Jumpluff.
Fish, I know you did a deep dive on the Arcana battlefield. What are some takeaways that you noticed from this one? This is a new meta. This one's brand new.
Yeah, I feel like this is the Pelipper Cup. There's really not many things that can wall a Pelipper. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's really any electric type damage except for maybe like Wild Charge from Mew. Pretty much anything that can beat the Pelipper, the Pelipper's got some sort of play against. There's a few rock types around, like your Sudowoodo and your Lycanroc. Tyrant is probably one of your better ones because it's rock and dragon, so it's throwing the ancient power rock damage as well as that dragon tail fast move consistency, but it's also not taking super effective damage from weather balls like Sudowoodo or Lycanroc would. So I do like Tyrant. Also, we did cover in the complete breakdown video that Cofagrigus is a very good safe pick as well because there's no dark types around.
Very good. So Arcana is one of the Great League battlefields. The other one is not as new, more like it's got a fresh coat of paint. It is Catacomb Battlefield. It was an old Sylph meta that they revamped here for factions. Catacomb Battlefield has bug, dark, grass, ice, or rock typings, plus Samurott, Sea King, Milotic, and Quillfish. Bans is your typical legendaries are banned. Mythicals, regionals, which is interesting, no regionals, shadows, steel, or grass poison typings. Also, there's a variety of species bans. Get that Scrafty out of here. No Obstagoon, Dewgong, Alolan Ninetales, Crustle, Aurorus, Amara, Walrein, Hisuian Quillfish, Overquill, Arachnid, Trevenant, Magcargo, and Dwebble. So lots going on there. This is the meta that I'm going to participate the most in this season. I'm really looking forward to it. And the PvPoke top 10 here are Barbaracle, Mandibuzz, Samurott, Frostlass, Skunktank, Snowy Castform, XL Alolan Grimer, Sudowoodo, and Beedrill making another appearance. So if you've got one for Ionic Cup, you can use it here in Catacomb as well. So, Fish, I know you're going to be doing and recording a video about Catacomb Battlefield a little later in the week this week, but have you noticed anything about it now or heard talk about it at all?
Yeah, so that'll be on Saturday morning US time that we'll be recording our deep dive on that. I'm just looking back through Catacomb Cup is a returning cup from Season 2 of the Sylph Arena, and I'm looking at the teams that I ran back then. Obviously, the meta is very, very different now, but I can see a lot of very similar picks. So I ran Beedrill, Alolan Graveler, Sudowoodo, Jumpluff, Umbreon, and Frostlass. I actually think a lot of those picks are still carrying over to this cycle.
They definitely are. I remember I ran Venusaur and that was like my big pick. And Ooh. Now those grass poisons are banned. So that definitely shifts this meta a little bit since the last time it was available. Taking a look at the Pokemon that I picked just for this first cycle, I haven't really done any practice, so I'm going in kind of cold. But I have an XL Alolan Grimer and I don't get many opportunities to use it. I'm excited to use it here. Then Sudowoodo, Umbreon, Frostlass, Samurott, and Fish. I did not learn my lesson. I built a new Pokemon and I'm using it without having practiced with it. And that Pokemon is Jumpluff. Mm-hmm. Jumpluff, this is a Pokemon again with that varying moveset because it's perfectly viable with Bullet Seed. But here you're going to want Fairy Wind because Fairy Wind is going to pick you up a lot more neutral matchups and it's going to really help you against something like an Umbreon, which Umbreon is going to be hugely popular in the Catacomb meta.
good luck with your Catacomb Cup battles. I am very keen to see how that meta shakes out. In the meantime, we've got one more field to cover for the Ultra League this time, and that is the Justicar battlefield. So Pokemon of 2,500, up to 2,500 CP with Bug, Electric, Fairy, Fighting, Fire, Ice, or Poison typing. No ground types allowed, and no Toxicroak, Dragalge, Aurorus, Alolan Golem, Lantern, Tapu Fini, or Mega Pokemon. The PV Poke top 10 are Tentacruel, Komo-O, Victini, Cobalion, Gengar, Sneasler, XL Ninetales, so then the Tentacruel is XL as well, Shadow Luxray, Shadow and Regular Charizard, and XL Galarian Weezing.
I'm looking at this fish, and I've got one Victini, and I'm keeping it in the Great League because I love Victini. I don't think until we get an opportunity, and I'm guessing we'll get one eventually at a second Victini when the shiny is available in Pokemon Go, I am keeping my Victini in the Great League because I love using it there. Otherwise, I just really love that the Ultra League is getting battlefields and it's not just open Ultra League. I think that is just really fun. I think the Ultra League, I don't know. I just think it's fun. I like that. I'm starting to, the Ultra League is growing on me more and more as time goes on.
Yeah. As long as you can, you know, compete, if you've got the resources to compete, it is a very fun meta. For us, with our research, Shadow Luxray is just the most important Pokemon, I think, in the meta. It is, again, like Pelipper, incredibly safe. If it gets an energy lead, if you switch it in, it can threaten pretty much everything. Tentacruel also very good, and Komo-O probably. After Shadow Lux, I would put Komo-O as the second most important Pokemon. Dragon Tail, Dragon Claw, and Close Combat can hit so many things. Resists the Scald from Tentacruel, resists the V-Creates from Victini, resisting the Electric from Shadow Lux. Just can even hang in there with the Charizard that's throwing the super effective Dragon Claws back at it. So all you have to do is make sure the Komo-O stays well away from Galarian Weezing. Like, the most hard counter situation, I think, in Pokemon Go PvP, where the Dragon Tails are double resisted, the Dragon Claws are double resisted, the Close Combat is double resisted, and then you've got the Weezing, which is throwing double super effective Fairy Winds and double super effective Play Roughs.
So again, Pallet Town PvP has been putting out a lot of really good extensive deep dives on these different battlefields, so be sure to check them out. With that, let's go ahead and start talking about the Play Pokemon. We've got two tournaments that happened this last weekend to recap, Vancouver and Natal. I'm going to start off with Vancouver, as that was the one that was streamed and we know the most about. Taking a look at the Vancouver Regional, March 11th to 12th, 2023, 63 players were registered. And our winner is Dialap Chung, and he had a great run. Taking a look at his day two run, he beat Iomero, who's a previous runner-up from, I believe it was Indianapolis last year, and then 3-2'd its Axon, knocking its Axon down to the loser's bracket. Its Axon came back, beating David Dang, and then we had a rematch, but Dialap beat its Axon 3-1. In that final, there was no bracket reset. Dialap didn't leave that winner's side of the bracket on day two. So he talked about it in his interview. He was hungry. He lost to Cindy in Vancouver and wanted to come back this year to win it all. And that he did. Dialap's team was Lantern, which I believe was running Water Gun, which was pretty spicy. I believe something about Water Gun Lantern, I think, Fish. But
yeah.
Know a little bit about it. Galarian Sunfist, Trevenant, Shadow Alolan Ninetales, and Shadow Swampert, which I think is going to be that brand new popular core that everyone is going to be running, along with a Noctowl. taking a look at the rest of the teams from the top eight in Vancouver, I would say the Pokemon that stands out the most to me is Shadow Drapion in Whisper 6284's team. Otherwise, it's super standard. Medicham on almost every team except Dialapse. He's the only one who didn't run a fighter. But it's a lot of the same. There's one Dunsparce, and that's not too much a surprise anymore. There's one Shadow Gliscor, a Shadow Sableye as well. But pretty traditional stuff. Was there anything that stood out to you from Vancouver, Fish?
I'm actually really liking the whole no counter user thing. That is, I think Rise to Occasion was the first one to notably use it. I'm sure some people have done it before Rise, but he was the first one we took notice of. Your counter user is typically there to beat your steel tanks, your Red Steel, your Galarian Stunfisk, your Bastiodon. If you've got Swampert and Trevenant on your team, then that's two things that can handle all of those steel tanks quite nicely. The Trevenant, not so much against the Bastiodon, but it certainly does have play. You've also got the Galarian Stunfisk there, which can beat the Redesteel and the Bastiodon quite handily. Obviously, it's a bit harder when you've got the mirror match with an opposing Galarian Stunfisk. Then, I mean, even the Water Gun Lantern and Shadow Alolan Ninetales can beat the G-Fisk as well in the one shields if it has like a one powder snow energy lead. So like a lot of the rest of the team is set up to be able to handle the tanks, which means the counter user is just superfluous. It means that you don't have to bring a Medicham and risk getting it caught against the Trevenant where it has no play, or against a Sableye where it has even less play.
And now we can move on to Natal. Natal didn't have an official streamed, but I think it was streamed over on YouTube on a different channel. It took place just on March 12th in Brazil. Taking a look at our top cut bracket, we have our champion of Zardy, Z-A-R-D-D-Y, making it through. And again, just like in Vancouver, like Dialab did, just stayed in the winner's bracket. Clearly what you need to do in these tournaments is just win. Just don't lose. Don't fall down to the loser's bracket.
Wait, let me write that down.
Yep, just win. So Zardy had some very clean wins, a 2-1, a 3-0 against S. Schneider 33, knocked S. Schneider 33 down to the loser's bracket, where S. Schneider 33 defeated J.W. Naldo, who we've seen many times as a very great battler. And then Schneider won, so that became a rematch of the winner's final. And it played out the same. Zardy 3-0'd Schneider the first time and 3-0'd him again to become the champion. We don't have on stadiumgaming.gg, which is where I pull all this information from. If you are not checking out stadiumgaming.gg for all of your play Pokemon needs, as well as many other things, fix that, because they do a good job. I don't have the other teams on here, but I do have Zardy's team because he posted his team at the end. And my goodness, there's some spice in here. Mm-hmm. We have some more traditional picks. We've got a Registeel, a Lantern, Alolan Ninetales, and Trevenant. But it's his other two picks that stand out to me. Obstagoon and Shadow Dragonair. What do you think about that?
Love it. I was thinking that Scrafty has been not getting enough love in play Pokemon tournaments lately, and Obstagoon is very, very similar in its play to Scrafty. It's just a little more resistive against ghosts and is taking double super effective. So it's like it has one extra level of resistance to ghosts and one extra level of weakness to fighting. But apart from that, yeah, very, very similar. It's also not taking super effective damage from flying types, which makes it a much better pick against specifically Noctowl, which we know just how crazy popular Noctowl is. It's Obstagoon is a fantastic pick. That Shadow Dragonair, I mean, I'm so in love with that. It's a little bit hard to use because it's got a pretty low bulk, so it can't really, like, even some resisted damage can threaten it, but it's really good at grinding down opponents with the investment of shields and winning alignment in the back line. That's kind of been its claim to fame in the last couple of seasons.
That about wraps it up for Natal. Taking a look forward at this weekend, we have Utrecht in the Netherlands from March 18th to 19th. This one's going to be crazy. There are more than 200 battlers registered. I am so excited to watch this stream. And we also have a really great crew of casters for this tournament who will be shoutcasting. Utrecht will be Lundberger, Ilya, which is great. Ilya is known for being a judge for Play Pokemon, is going to get a turn at casting. We also have Inadequance, and returning again as well is Lionheart, Leonard Koenig. So be sure to check that out. It is going to be a great stream, I am sure. It is going to be on twitch.tv/Nuralkar. So twitch.tv/NURALKAR. Be sure to check it out. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited to see how that works with 200 battlers. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's at a good time for me to watch. But then again, like, do I want to watch a stream that's going to be 19 hours long?
I think it'll be good. I think they're going to move it along at a good pace. I think it'll be just fine. All right, taking another peek into the future, let's take a look at some of our upcoming events. We have Charlotte, USA from March 24th to the 26th. About 80 players are currently registered for that, but there's definitely more time to get that registration in. We have Fort Wayne, USA from March 31st to April 2nd. About 45 players are registered for that. Sydney, Australia, April 1st to the 2nd. Registration just opened this week, so be sure to get on that. The next one will be in London, Great Britain. That is EUIC, the big one, the international. That is going to be from April 14th to 16th. It is almost sold out. The last I saw, it was around like 240, something like that, for battlers, or 216. 216 is the last I saw. So 216, and the cap is 256. So it is really, really close. So if you want to sign up, be sure to do that fast. And even if it does sell out, sometimes the spots get reopened for various reasons. So just be sure to follow on Twitter, even if it does sell out. Let's go ahead and do our mailbag. I'll read this one if that's okay with you, Fish. I'm going to pause. I'm going to read the first part. I'll pause, I'll let you respond, and then I'll read the rest. So we have one email in from Metapod Eyes, who writes, "Hi to all of the GoCast podcast. Just a general email to say thanks and hello. Thanks to Fish for the photo at OCIC and the shout out on the podcast. My son was smiling all day from his brush with a celebrity. Whenever we see Fish and DeFi on events on YouTube or Twitch, it's like seeing our heroes out there, which I'm sure will embarrass them, but they are such humble people."
Yeah, kind of embarrassing, but I absolutely appreciate you guys reaching out. It was a pleasure to meet fans of the podcast. It's always, I mentioned this when I was recording with the BTW podcast a couple of weeks ago, how I can see the numbers on how many like downloads this show gets a week. And yet when I find someone IRL that actually listens to the show, it's always a shock. It's always a shock. I actually, funny story, someone from our Silver faction messaged me a few days ago to say that a student of his congratulated him on making Legend. And he's like, "Oh, thanks, wait, how do you know?" And he goes, "Oh, Fish mentioned it on the podcast." So yeah, it's always amazing seeing that kind of reach, and always so humbling when people, you know, tell us how much they enjoy it.
I completely agree. Thank you so much. Let me continue on with your email. As a family of players from Suffering Beta Release Australia, I am so sorry. The Global Horn Tour was a hit, i.e. free, as paying for multiple tickets can be prohibitive. So I think Niantic found the right balance. It got me thinking about further balances they could make. Maybe a third cup during battle seasons, limiting the player level, like a junior XP league. Rewards could be things that are hard to get when starting up, like Stardust, Pokeballs, increased storage for items in Pokemon, viable IV-appropriate mons. They could even limit the Pokemon, making the more popular ones, bugs, Chris, that younger and young-at-heart players value, as elite-level mons tend to be the usual suspects, something that most of the Pokemon play meta suffers from universally. Although this may also lure secondary or more account holders, I think there will be in the minority, leaving the majority of inexperienced battlers to hone their skills against similar level ability players. Using spicy Pokemon instead of getting schooled, annihilated by late season starting players like Kyle. Sorry for that burn.
That's savage. Kyle's good. Kyle, like, knows his stuff.
He does. So maybe you'll have to face Kyle in some Go Battle League. Maybe you'll find him out there.
Yeah, I mean, him and I have been talking about, like, because he set some Go Battle League related goals recently. Him and I have been discussing just strategies that he can use, and like, he's been doing well. He's been getting that solid early season win rate.
Lastly, you write, I have attached a short letter for Fish from my son, and to finish, I will misquote Gandalf the Grey. A GoCast listener's emails are never too short nor too long. They are precisely the length they need to be. Keep up the great work, shiny vibes. Metapod eyes.
So what do you think of that? So the two main ideas that Metapod eyes seems to have are increasing rewards for early battlers or less experienced battlers, and changing the meta for less experienced battlers. So they're playing a different meta to what the more experienced battlers are. What do you think of those two ideas?
I think that's interesting. Remix, when they do remixes, I think that also changes the meta. So for like Great League Remix, they would ban all of those super popular picks. So they kind of already do that when they do the remix. I think a junior XP league is interesting. And I agree that would definitely lure people at different accounts, like people who have second, third, fourth accounts. But I know I have plenty of friends who need to do Go Battle League and they just get discouraged by it very quickly. So finding different ways to onboard new players and make it more friendly and fun for people, I think, is a really good idea. So I love hearing different ideas like this.
Yeah, I'm definitely probably more of a fan of the increasing rewards over having a different meta. There's also a question of at what point does it transition into, you know, what the rest of us are experiencing. And also it needs to be communicated specifically to probably the more dedicated players, saying, hey, we're giving the newer players a bit of a hand to help them get involved, and we believe this is good for the game because it helps develop a lasting love for PvP, etc., etc. And I like to think that, you know, the more dedicated players would understand that. But then also the newer players would have to make it clear to the newer players that it's only temporary, because otherwise they'll get to a certain point and be like, wait, where's my Stardust? Where's my Pokeballs? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so definitely something that you'd have to work the logistics out on, but I like the concept. I like finding a more neutral, easier on-ramp for players.
Yeah, because there's I've talked about maybe the skill gap between the world's best players and the mid-tier players being quite small, but I actually think conversely, the gap between the mid-tier players and the beginner players is enormous. So anything that can stop a new player giving it a go and just getting absolutely curb stomped by someone who has an idea of what they're doing will be absolutely huge for the long-term health of the game.
Also, it sounds like you mentioned the short letter for Fish. Fish, did you want to touch base on that as well?
Yeah, sure. So the extra, it was sent in an attachment. It was from Patrick, the guy's name is. So shout out to Patrick, who I met in the OCIC competition. Dear Fish on a Heater and GoCast friends, thanks for mentioning me on the GoCast podcast. I love your podcast and so does my dad. Every time we travel in his car, I hear you guys talking about Pokemon, and it's awesome. Congratulations on second place at OCIC. It must have been a tough journey, but it was worth it. Your team looked super spicy. What's your favorite Pokemon? Mine's Rowlet. From Patrick. I mean, thank you so much, man. Means a heck of a lot. My favorite Pokemon at the moment is Umbreon, but I also am really liking Dratini. And every time I use Galarian Rapidash and go Battle League, I'm like, man, this is a good Pokemon. So official answer is Umbreon, but I'm going to, you know, put those other two Pokemon on the podium. What about yourself, DeFi?
Oh, my favorite Pokemon is Lopunny. Lopunny and Beniri, far and away, are my favorites. Yeah. But my favorite to use in battle is definitely Frostlass. I love that it saw a lot of popularity in the Play Pokemon tournaments because it is just so powerful when you give it that energy lead. I talk about it all the time when I'm casting.
All right, so that was our mailbag. Time for our shameless plugs. We use this opportunity to give a shout out to some people in the Palutown community and the GoCast Discord server that have hit achievements. So in Palutown, we have Axel Cactham has hit Veteran and Dark Vengeance has hit Ace. And in GoCast, we have Jay Engineer who has hit Veteran and Maxitron who has hit rank 20.
For streams and videos, my plan is still to come back that Monday, March 27th and do an evening stream. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. It might just be like a just chatting. Let's talk about how the Charlotte tournament went. That's the tournament that'll be that weekend. Not really sure. It'll be something. My goal is to get back into streaming. I've been making some really good, positive life changes, lots of good routine, lots of healthy stuff. So I feel like I'm starting to get back in that good place where I can bring streaming back into my schedule again. What's going on in Palutown, Fish?
Just keep a lookout for, if you go to Palutown PvP on YouTube, there will be breakdowns of all the factions metas as well as each custom meta for Go Battle League. So the most recent one we did was Psychic Cup. For the Psychic Cup, there's also a TLDR 5-minute version where we just give you the bare basics. This one actually went for like 6.5 minutes, but so it's increasingly becoming just an honorable name, the meta in 5 minutes. But check those out, Palutown PvP on YouTube.
And with that, we love hearing your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions for Fish or for myself, you can direct your feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail at 262-586-7717. Just say in your voicemail that it's for PvP Corner. Or you can send physical mail to the GoCast Podcast P.O. Box. That address is Crystal Lake Post Office at P.O. Box 367. 301 East Congress Parkway in Crystal Lake, Illinois, 60073. Also, again, just be sure that you specify if it's for Chris and Kyle or if it's for Fish and myself. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish or More DeFi-E to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And with that, we'll talk to you next week.